This is Radio Free Cybertron with your host, Brian Kilby, featuring Chris, Don, Rob, Diecast, John, and Melvar. For the latest Transformer news, reviews, and more, visit tformers.com.
This is Radio Free Cybertron, episode 452. That's a big number.
Yeah.
That's a big number. Mm-hmm. I'm your host, Brian Kilby. With me this week, we have Diecast, Matt, Chris, Don, Rob, and John. Gentlemen, how's it going?
Excellent.
Not as snowy as it was, you know, last week, so yay.
This is true.
Didn't that suck?
Yeah.
My car's still
I think Rob should tell us how that sucked.
Yeah, tell us about it for us Southerners.
Well, we got like 3 feet of snow. Today's the first day we could actually get off our hill. The lovely lady who lives across the street started stacking all the snow off her car in front of our driveway. That was wonderful. And it's not like she was just doing it by accident, because when my dad went out and she saw him, she stopped doing it. So
I don't know where the snow came from.
Yeah. So yeah, it's been wonderful. We actually got out of the house for the first time today. So, but it was worth it because I found a 6-pound block of mozzarella cheese for $6.
Wow.
So, that's a lot.
Sounds like a lot of cheese.
That's a lot of cheesy toast.
Yeah. What are you going to do with all that mozzarella cheese, Rob?
Store it until I figure out what to do with it bit by bit.
Make pizza.
Oh yeah, yes. There's going to be pizza for sure.
Lots of spaghetti.
Sounds good. Okay, guys. So I want to remind people out there that our 7th annual, oh my goodness, live Toy Fair coverage is on Saturday, February 13th, starting at 12 p.m. Eastern Time. 7th annual.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, wasn't that first year's Toy Fair coverage, wasn't that one of the first things we tried to live stream?
It probably was one of the very first things we started to live stream.
If not for that, we wouldn't even be here talking live right now. I mean, we'd be here talking, but you have to wait like 3 or 4 days to actually hear it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Man, that was the Wild West back then. So much easier now. But yeah, so that's our 7th year. In the last few years, we've actually been there, thanks Diecast.
You're welcome.
And he will be tweeting from our Twitter account, at TF Radio, with photos and news and all the awesome stuff.
Lego starts it off Saturday morning.
Nice.
Sweet.
Excellent.
Yep.
So we have our guest list confirmed of Transformers fans, our friends who are out there in the Transformers world. They'll be with us to talk about all of the awesome stuff that's happening. So we'll actually start off with like speculation and just general goofing off. Like around 2 o'clock, that's when the news normally starts coming in. We get really serious.
really nerdy.
Yeah, we get really nerdy. And it stays
Give us some credit, Matt. We're nerdy right from the start.
Yeah. And it normally goes about 6 hours. And we fill that time, too.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Come and hang out with us. You can watch it on our YouTube channel, tfradio.net/live. And speaking of tfradio.net/live, we have a new chat system. So we've kind of been ignoring the chat the last couple months.
Years.
No, well, I haven't. We've been having issues with our old chat system. It's the one that was that we got with Ustream. And, we couldn't log in. We were having problems. So I went ahead and got a shiny new chat system. Come if you have been a listener, live viewer in the past, go to tfradio.net/live and claim your name. And the cool thing is, the chat actually persists now. So if you happen to be in there, and you can basically chat any time of the day, any day of the week. It's pretty cool. If you wanted to sit around and watch like a 4-day-old episode of RFC that was pre-recorded.
Well, hey, you know, not everybody catches it.
Yeah.
Not everybody catches the show at the same time, Brian.
And sometimes I have. If it's like a Christmas episode or something, I'll post the new episode at tfradio.net/live and you can pretend that we're actually there. But we actually will be there on Saturday, February 13th. And also, we will have a non-Transformers Day on Sunday, February 14th. So if you can get away from your significant other, or better yet, if you don't have one, you can come hang out with us. TFRadio.net/live.
Thanks, Brian. Appreciate it. Mean it.
Did anybody get anything new? Diecast did.
I did. Well, I got a bunch of old new stuff because I've been going back and filling my animated collection because I ignored animated toys. So now I'm like, animated was really good. I need that main cast. So I've been doing that. But I also got a very large Invasion Mode Optimus Prime that is, I guess, a little bit larger than MP scale. And has a really nice transformation. It's the same people that did the KO MPP-10, the upscaled MP-10 Optimus Prime. And it's gorgeous. I transformed it into truck mode, red truck mode. And it's been really good. And I am going to do a video review on it. It's just been running around looking at houses for days and days and days.
I'm kind of glad you haven't posted a review recently, because I haven't actually got the website set up yet. I meant to do that this weekend.
Yeah.
So I will do that soon.
So Diecast, I know one thing people were worried about with the original genuine Evasion Mode Optimus, that a lot of the like transformation joints inside were clear plastic.
There's no clear plastic on this other than maybe the windows. So
I want stickers for the windows.
Ratchets, and there's ratchets, there's everything. There's even this panel. I don't think that was there on the Evasion Mode Optimus Prime. So I mean, they did a really nice job making this look like a real truck.
So I want to mention this. So back in the day when we would get KO stuff, it was really KO. I mean, it would be a completely different color, different size, much worse quality.
But that was the fun part.
That was the fun part. I actively collected them because it was fun, and I didn't feel like I was doing something dirty. But these are, in most ways, superior to the actual product. So, to me, that really seems like theft.
As a counterpoint to that, I just want to remind everybody that last Easter, we did get our first mass market knockoffs of third-party Transformer stuff.
Yes.
Wow, that's still in one piece?
Because I haven't touched it since then, Matt. Oh, okay. Yes, the crayon wax copy of Munitioner and Explorer that came with some Walgreens Easter baskets.
Yeah, and I'm
looking forward to the Easter baskets this year to see if anything else interesting turns up in them.
That's cool.
Oh yeah, that'd be great.
And I'm not accusing Diecast of theft. Just the people that produce it. Those that produce it.
Yeah.
Now, one thing I ordered is the upscale. Can you say it's upscale? It's really a knockoff of the third party. It's the Into the Sky.
The Feral Rex.
Feral Rex.
It is upscaled though, isn't it?
It's upscale.
Yeah, it's like 2 feet tall, isn't it?
But it's simplified too a little bit.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
And,
how much was
that,
it?
I've
heard those run around 150.
It cost me about $50. Yeah. But I don't know what the shipping's going to be yet. So.
Well, it's coming from China. It's 2 feet tall.
Ouch. Well, hey, Diecast, on that Evasion Mode Prime, how different is the transformation from the regular? I mean, is it significantly different, or is there some callbacks? Or
I never opened up the regular one.
Oh, okay.
So this is my only experience, and this is really nice. It was kind of hard to. He comes in robot mode, so it was kind of hard to transform him into vehicle mode. The way the arms kind of fold in, and the whole inverts
like they kept the transformation the same then.
Yeah, because that's the one thing about the Voyager class Evasion Mode Prime is that it really needed to be like an ultra or a next size class up to get a little more room, you know, for everything to clear. I mean, it clears. It's just hard to get it to fit.
I tried to buy it at Kmart and they wouldn't break the street date, even though it was sitting on the shelf. So I never picked it up. just to be completely honest.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite movie toys, which is
saying a lot.
Yeah, and if we would have gotten that in a deco in the US that was actually accurate to how it looked in the movie, that would be one thing. But like even the one in the platinum box that wasn't quite there, just because, I mean, there's a limit to how much paint can go on even the platinum set. The only one that really got it right was that one really limited Takara release of it.
My favorite movie toy, Revenge of the Fallen Wheelie. Love that toy. Hey, anybody else get anything? Don's looking okay. I got G2 Superion finally. I literally just got it. So,
does your life feel more enriched now?
It really does, but looking at it, like, even though I could tell, obviously, by looking at photos, it's really a bummer that there's not even, like, the mention of G2 on the packaging. Like, nothing whatsoever. Yeah.
I mean, we're going to harp on this forever, but it's still just a shame they didn't do the Fall Cybertron Bruticus-style packaging for this.
Pretty much.
But, you know, I did bring up a few weeks ago about, you know, a third party could step up and you know, and make stuff that they could, we could add to a box, or they could make, you know, like with G.I. Joe collectors have had boxes for years, you know, they can make G2 packaging, but that's awful niche in an already niche thing.
I remember you bringing that up, and I don't think like a slip cover for a box would be all that bad an idea, or like a huge investment for somebody to make a quick run of.
Yeah,
like Toy Hacks, don't they do like backgrounds
they've got like cardboard goods now.
That would be pretty sweet.
Right up their alley.
Yeah, really. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, let's go ahead and I guess we can do This Week in History. I didn't want to do anything, and I saw this one, and I wanted to skip it, but one of you guys said do it, so I'm going to do it. 2010, Last Night of the Records, number one, is released by IDW. And guess what? They did a sequel, and it's coming out now. So,
and today, now it's fact. Also, and it's now on hiatus until April.
Mm-hmm. Yay!
Yeah. Well, it's just, I'm the one that put that in. Even though I haven't read the book, I put that in because I know for a lot of people that was their introduction to IDW. That wasn't reading the series.
Those are the smart people.
Yeah, and also people that read the series. That's still considered one of the high water marks. That I keep hearing about people saying about the series.
You've never read it?
I've never read it, no.
At this point, I would say it's not worth it.
Shut your mouth, Brian.
Everybody should read it.
It was really good. It was really good, but I still like More Than Meets the Eye way better.
Well, that's not really, you know, an exclusionary statement, though. There's still value in reading Last End of the Record.
There is, but it's not like when it came out, it was Revelation. It's no longer Revelation. It's just good. But it's not, you know.
Just, you know, if anybody's planning to actually read that for the first time, look for, like, the complete edition that has, like, the extra text stories and everything.
Or get it at tfradio.net/Amazon through your Kindle, and you can read it through Comixology now. Spoilers, I will be talking more about that later. Jumping into the news. So there's an article on T-Formers about Toy Fair 2016. What will we see? Predictions, expectations, and speculation. So, in the article, Robin XV wrote this. I just want to jump in. This is pretty much going to be our big topic, but we have news to back this up. What are you guys thinking? What's the abstract on this?
A lot of wave twos.
Yeah.
We did kind of very brief allusion to, like, Combiner Wars was already going at this time last year. It was already in stores, so we saw farther into the line. Now we're just kind of playing catch up to, like, the leaks that are happening. We'll see the official reveals of a lot of that stuff, including the remainder of Combiner Wars product for this year, which is all going to be those box sets, which we found out a couple weeks ago through Adam Paulus when Menasor and Victorion are expected to hit retailers. And if that pattern holds up, like, Computron Leo Kaiser will carry us out through the end of this year. So, like, that will probably be at Toy Fair. The only surprises is probably going to be the Titan Master Class, just because we figure there's no way to predict what's going to be in subsequent assortments of that. Like with the deluxes and stuff, you can make educated guesses just based on the context. And it's pretty much just along that line.
So I see a reference in here to a couple of trademarks that have popped up. One, I don't remember seeing it come through, was Gigatron?
Trademarks?
I don't know. It's just they've used the name Gigatron for Overlord.
Oh,
before,
yeah, so okay, that's... yeah. Remember the Heroes of Cybertron, the PVC?
Yeah.
Overlord, they called it Gigatron because that was a name they owned. Yeah. So there's history of that being applied to the character of Overlord. So.
I want a Gigatron. Forget Overlord. Yeah.
Plus, with his Power Masters being Mega and Giga, it wasn't that far of a stretch.
No, I want an Overlord that turns into a hand.
Interesting.
so you want Megatron's base from RID 1.0 then?
Yeah. Actually, that's pretty good, Don.
Well, no, Megatron's ship turned into the body the hand connected to. Kilby just wants the hand.
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay, so let's just go ahead and jump to the news that actually popped up in respect to this. We are looking at new photos. Autobase Aichi posted some more blurry photos this week, including Scourge, Stylor, a.k.a. Chrome Dome's head, Alpha Trion, and Mindwipe. That's cool.
It'd be great if we could actually see some detail.
I see a lot of people complaining about the Scourge, and I kind of get it, but I mean, he's not...
I mean, I think it looks great.
I kind of get it, but my point is, Scourge isn't like the most, awesome-looking figure, character anyway, so he's a pretty decent representation.
Yeah, and I kind of expected we would see something like this based on the existence of Blur, because Generations Blur is a really great toy, but he does not look like G1 Blur at all. And, the new Blur does, so I was expecting a much more G1 Scourge. I'm kind of hoping that they will complete the set of Generations from that year with a much more G1 Cup. I'd like to have that.
I totally expect to see that. I think Titan Master is pretty much going to be season 3 and 4 characters.
Yeah, and also, it's the 30th anniversary of Transformers the movie. There's a couple more things in the news we'll be getting to that tie into that. And something I didn't put in the article, but I've been kind of kicking around in my head. I kind of think we're going to see a Voyager Rodimus Prime sometime this year.
Oh, please. Please.
Oh, we have that already. We don't need another one. It's right. Glorious.
I honestly more think we would see a Deluxe Hot Rod just because they've taken steps to resecure the name.
Well, why not both?
You could do both.
Yeah, really you need to space them apart, but yeah.
I really want a new Unicron. I'm still holding out hope.
I want to see more of this Alpha Trion.
Yeah, it looks at a glance like it's probably a remold of Galvatron.
I could see that working.
Yeah.
I can't really see enough of this to really pin it down like that.
Look at the shoulders. I think that's where it looked most Galvatron to me.
I forgot Galvatron was happening.
That's a really blurry photo to be able to.
Things have moved so fast.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's
well,
the whole...
in about 2 weeks.
Yeah.
No, it's got the striped thighs like Galvatron, and it's got the shoulders at that angle like the Voyager Galvatron. So that is my guess, an extensive remold of Titan's Return Galvatron.
Which would be really interesting if they could pull that off.
Which would be but what would again? I missed it? That.
Alpha Trion, the really, really blurry photo because, T-Formers auto resizes everything to 600 or 800. So it was postage stamp sized, about the size of the thumbnail originally. So, but yeah, but just again, from the shoulders and the thighs, I'm thinking maybe Titans Return Galvatron, but it's too early to tell.
Yeah, but that's interesting.
Would it turn into a cannon?
No, okay, so if you squint at it really hard, you can see stuff that looks a little bit like the Botcon Alpha Trizer, which was the Thundertron retool, or at least recolor. I don't remember if it had new parts, but it like there's commonalities to that that I can see. This looks like it might turn into a lion as one of its alt modes.
Yeah, I was gonna say real quick, Rob, to add to his theory, I guess. So if you look up Galvatron, the way his shoulders come together to be like the base of the cannon, that yes, the shoulders on Alpha Trion are split lion heads.
So this
they would come together in the same way.
So I can't tell. Yeah. Is this a photo of the toy or is this art?
Who even
Good
knows?
Question.
Yes.
looks like art.
Good question.
And all these Voyagers are supposed to be triple changers too, and Galvatron does have a quote jet mode, so that would work for Alpha Trion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was going to say that, Matt, because even though most of us kind of just glossed over the jet mode when the Galvatron pictures came out, for Alpha Trion, it could work being a first-generation product of Vector Sigma. He could have a flight mode.
And you mean the first-generation product of the Quintessons, Don?
And here's the thing that's been concerning us just because we don't have any more, you know, information at the moment. What if Styler is just a head?
You mean he doesn't transform?
No,
he come
he's
with a body.
He's one of, yeah, he's like Nightbeat. He's one of the Titan
masters.
I don't think they would do that.
I hope they wouldn't, but who even knows?
I mean, that is a really iconic face. I mean, head.
Would it fit on my fans project, Function X guy? Because he needs a face mask.
No, but like if you look at the Mindwipe and Scourge pictures, there's not just like an inset of the head mode head like that. So I'm kind of thinking, unless that Chrome Dome head comes from a completely different kind of document.
That's a good point.
Mindwipe and Scourge look like they're color guides that somebody took a picture of off a computer screen. And then maybe ran through a photocopier. But that Chrome Dome head is just by itself. You can see the neck connector and everything. It's not like it's just cropped out. So I'm thinking, yeah, that might just be a Titan Master set, which is going to make a lot of people really mad if they produce a very IDW Chrome Dome head.
Furious. Absolutely furious.
Okay.
Unless here is the outside possibility.
Let me go get my
torch. Here's, don't forget Frankenstein Rake. Yes. Here's the outside possibility. There could be a brainstorm or a Chrome Dome that has a more toy influenced G1 type head, and they're selling this separately so you can make it into an IDW Chrome Dome if you want to.
That could be really cool.
I have one more outside crazy idea. They continue the whole part swapping gimmick that they've been doing with all of their Hasbro lines, like the Hero Mashers and all that, but they just do it with heads.
Yeah.
And you might get.
Well, yeah, that basically seems to be what they're actually going for by releasing the Titan Masters as their own price point.
But I'm saying you might get a Chrome Dome that actually has, like, an Arcana head or could have something else, which would just be weird. But, you know, it makes you want to. So instead of just buying one figure, you have to buy two. Not going to happen, but.
I wouldn't be so sure about that. No, I think the theory that, like, a Chrome Dome body could come out with a more toy based head. Does not have, it's not without merit. Same thing for Nightbeat. They could do a body that could work as Nightbeat and have it come with like a siren head or something. Or a hose head. Just, you know, there's different ways to handle it.
Yeah.
I'm also wondering if maybe with, you know, the amount of retooling they can do, they're just preparing a series of like alternate heads so that even if they don't get around to producing these characters, everything is set up for Takara to jump in and do their version of a Chrome Dome or whatever.
Yeah, and that's really, like, an important question which we'll really never have the answer to. The heads that come with the Deluxe and Voyager figures, how attached are they to the molds? Can they be separated and swapped out for a different one for retooling purposes?
Yeah.
Now, if third parties are smart, they'll jump on the same head connection so you can use the Hasbro heads and make better bodies, or
see a third party market for headless bodies that go with these characters that are supposed to have bodies.
Is that because third parties do great robots but terrible characters? And Hasbro's making good characters?
No, because like it really depends on the third party, because some of the third parties do good you know, characterful head sculpt. They do now. Expressive bodies. Some just do like really boring, dull bodies and head sculpts that look like Sun Surge.
Okay, so so we'll know more here in a couple of weeks. And don't be surprised if you see more leaks popping up.
Two
yes.
Oh, anyway, back to what we started this on. I can kind of see the problem with Scourge just in, like, that upper body really needs some extra color for more contrast. There's too much blue.
But it's Scourge.
Yeah.
Oh, no, but, like, it needs, like, some more silver or something. Just so it's not all one big block of blue.
Did he have red fingertips?
Pink.
Well, this one doesn't seem to.
Okay.
The 2010 toy had red fingertips.
I don't even remember.
I love that toy so much.
I just remember that
sitting right up there.
Yeah. And X-Trans Box Andrea says it as well.
Forgot that existed.
Well, we'll get to that later, too.
Yeah, so yeah. More Toy Fair stuff. The Nuremberg Toy Fair, no major reveals yet.
If there's going to be, it'll probably be in a couple of days that we'll actually hear about it.
But the official Transformers Germany Facebook page has been updated with news of products revealed at Nuremberg. Including, should I say Gigawatt or Gigawatt?
Gigawatt.
I love saying Gigawatt. Optimus Prime from Robots in Disguise.
Which appears to be that Takara Optimus Prime with the with the chest plate we saw last week. So.
Yep. And that's good. So I can get it at retail price now.
Mm-hmm. Yes, now, yeah. If you've been waiting for a large Optimus Prime toy for your Robots in Disguise collection, after 2 years, you'll finally be in luck.
Well, now, Rob, I was talking to Paladin about this the other day, and because he's been looking at getting that large Adventures version of that Optimus Prime. Mm-hmm. And one thing about this one is the legs don't go up near as far up the body, and they're not near as hollow on the inside, or there's something covering the inside of the legs. Because the other one was terrible about the end of the leg was above the knee. The knee was built in behind that, but you had a hollow gap running all the way up due to the transformation. So
yeah.
This is a significant remold just based on what we're seeing on the legs.
I think it's actually a completely new toy.
Yeah, is considering it's something that Hasbro's releasing here, which that previous Optimus Prime was not, I would tend to agree. This is going to be entirely new molding, and yeah, it does look better proportioned than basically any version of Robots in Disguise Optimus Prime we've gotten so far.
Yeah.
The best I can recall the large Optimus Takara made is actually it has an open container so that you can put the smaller cars inside.
Yeah.
That's why it's all hollow and why the legs are so high. This is a lot more simple, so they don't have to like accommodate for that.
Yeah. Yeah, I just wanted to point out that it was definitely not the same mold, at least without significant retooling.
Yeah, good thinking.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay, so let's go ahead and jump to the rest of the news. There is new official preview videos for Robots in Disguise Season 2 and Rescue Bot Season 4.
Yeah.
So I actually enjoyed the Rescue Bots Season 4 preview video. It makes me wish I was still watching that, as opposed to, you know, stopping after the fourth episode, period. I don't watch TV. I don't even watch. I have caught the two new episodes of X-Files, but that's basically it, period. If this was on Hulu, I would watch it. So none of us are watching Robots in Disguise, but I think...
I've seen all of season one.
You have?
Yes.
I'm a bad Transformers fan and a bad Transformers podcast host by not watching it, so I need to catch up on that.
Yeah, I have seen all of season one up until the finale. Again, it's no spoilers for those people who haven't seen it. It's not bad. The only thing I'll say is that the big bad should have been built up more earlier. It all kind of seemed to come in towards the end. Definitely a few pacing issues there, but it was a good final couple of episodes. My biggest problem with Robots in Disguise is, as I've said before, if this is a Prime sequel, we're not getting the callbacks, and I'm willing to give them time to get established on their own, but we barely had anything other than Optimus Prime. You know, spoiler: Optimus Prime comes back from the dead.
I didn't know that, Don. Thanks for the spoiler.
Yeah, but you know, so season two. I'm looking forward to season.
There is
two.
No Santa Claus.
Yeah, but now he's a dream construct. But I'm looking forward to season two again, so they can start making the connections to try to. If this is going to be part of Prime, it needs to have some connections to make to either enrich the world or to be its own separate thing.
I would rather it be its own separate thing. It can, I mean, it could be a continuation of Prime and never reference Prime. I'd be fine with that.
See, to me, it's like Chekhov's gun. If you're going to call it a continuation of Prime and then never call back to Prime, why even bother in the first place?
Oh, Don, that's a deep literary reference. Very nice.
Thought it was a Star Trek reference.
No.
No, that'd be Chekhov's phaser.
Actually, I guess it's literary may not be the right way of putting it, but it's a
literary device. It's a storytelling device. Yeah. You don't have something in your story that doesn't play a part somehow. Otherwise,
but it's just... not in the story though. Sorry, let's not talk about it. Okay, moving along.
I also like how Kilby says so authoritatively it's not in the story when he hasn't watched the show.
Well, it's not in the story in the first 5 or 6 episodes, other than just like very at the beginning.
You're not really helping your case here, Kilby.
Okay, good point. I haven't watched it since like episode 7, so I don't know what I'm talking about. I admitted it.
Good.
There,
let's
right
move on.
There. Okay. Transformers Live, Transformers Live, new live action event set to open in China in 2017. Now, this sounds really screwed up, but it sounds kind of cool, I guess. Imagine basically a theme park and a theatrical show in Transformers and in Chinese, and you pretty much get an idea of what this is. I guess it's like gigantic marionettes or animatronics or something. Do we know?
Can we go see that? That would be awesome.
I know.
well, Chris, probably you and I will probably. Well, actually, Rob and maybe Matt. Does this not sound like a tokusatsu show? They're just doing and just replacing writers with the Transformers.
What is a tokusatsu show? They have tokusatsu or something.
I'm saying, you know, in Japan they have stage shows with Kamen Rider and Super Sentai.
That's crazy. Really?
And yeah, live action, you know, stage productions. It's like here in the U.S. if
Disney on Ice.
This is going to be more of a theme park attraction.
Yeah.
Don.
Okay.
Yeah.
Or like an installation or something.
Okay. It's just reading that. That's the vibe that I got.
It sounds right. I just didn't know I didn't know that there were live tokusatsu presentations in Japan. I just thought they were like TV and movies. That's cool. It makes sense. I mean, it's not like it would be hard to do. It's somebody in a rubber suit, so.
Or spandex. For the stage shows, like, even the rider suits become spandex even when they're not in the TV show.
Okay. I was thinking Godzilla.
They don't do. I don't think they do Godzilla stage shows. They can't turn that into spandex as easily.
They should.
That would be kind of great.
I want to see Godzilla on ice. If I had Godzuki, I probably wouldn't watch it, though.
Boy, Kilby, that was such a good thing that you made Don hit himself in the face with his microphone.
Okay, so I'm going to skip this next one because I don't really care. I don't remember if we mentioned this last week or not, or if it popped up.
We did not.
Okay, so a Classics, I guess, 1.0 Optimus Prime popped up on the internet in a recolor mode. With speculation that it might be part of another Platinum Edition set. And hey, guess what it is? It is called the One Shall Stand, One Shall Fall set. Kind of silly. But it features Classics 1.0 Optimus and Megatron, and Megatron is in new funky colors. As opposed to the old funky colors.
Optimus is kind of funky, too.
Yeah, Optimus is
less
funky.
So. Like, Optimus is basically in the original toys color, like the original Classics releases colors. Except just missing the paint on the clear parts.
Yeah.
Which makes really odd alternate truck mode.
But I like that Megatron.
I do,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, he's like a red gun that turns into a silver robot.
Yeah, they actually found a way to do a deco that, you know, is an acceptable, not problem, you know, not a problem as a toy gun, and looks probably as G1 as Megatron ever has on that mold.
But the speculation... Go ahead.
I recall seeing someone say that Megatron is in colors consistent with some other Nerf gun.
Yeah,
or at least similar.
Yeah, because I've seen Nerf guns in their Zombie Strike series that have a very similar color scheme. So they probably saw, hey, if Nerf can do it in these colors, you know, we can do, because that's not much different than he's always like a Nerf gun anyway.
I mean, and they own Nerf, right? So, I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah.
But the thing is, the speculation is this won't come out here again because he's a gun.
Yeah, I speculate that just based on, like, Hasbro representatives themselves have said, you know, we released this the first time, but we've been told we probably can't ever do this again just because of what it is.
Yeah.
Now, you know, if the colors make it possible, that's cool. It's also probably going to be hideously expensive for what it is.
Because it's a platinum set.
Platinum, yeah.
Yeah.
$100.
Right now, I would more just count on this, like, this will come out in China. You can probably import it if you know the right stores to look at, but I'm not so sure it's going to turn up at Toys R Us.
Now, if you want just the Prime, you'll probably be able to be checking eBay when this set comes out, because I got a feeling a lot of people will be buying this set and selling the Prime and keeping the Megatron.
That Megatron is pretty cool looking. I'm not gonna deny that.
Yeah. You know, I'll be honest though. I have two versions. I have the regular classic Nerf version, and I have the silver version from Takara. And I think I kind of like his crazy Nerf colors better.
Oh, they're a lot of fun.
Yeah, because it's basically this Megatron saying, "I don't care what I look like. I'm still going to shoot you."
Also, Don and Kilby, especially y'all remember this. Hasbro was trying to do a commemorative series G1 Megatron in orange and bright blue.
Oh, they were
going to call it Safety Lava Megatron.
Bath. Yeah, mm-hmm. Lava Bath Megatron.
Oh, God.
This kind of reminds me of that concept, just without the blue chest.
Yeah.
You know, if they could do this toy in the U.S., I would really have hoped they could have used the Safety Megatron colors just to get that deco out finally, but...
I really like the look of this Optimus. Except for the gigantic Autobot shield on the top of his head.
Now, I kind of like that, and I don't like the clear blue parts on the side.
Yeah, as much as I love clear plastics and the decoration they give, I don't like those.
Well, like, the thing about this is...
Did I shut the door? You can't even tell the door's shut or not.
Oh, the clear plastic looks fine in robot mode. It's just really weird on the truck.
It is weird on the truck.
And the thing about this Optimus also, it looks like it's exactly the same, barring the Autobot symbol on the wind vane. It looks like it's exactly the same deco as the 2006 release. It's just missing the spray over the side panels. Like, the robot mode looks exactly the same.
Well, if nothing else, maybe I doubt they'll do it like I mentioned the last time this mold came out. But maybe Fans Project will bring the City Commander armor out of storage. And
that's so dated now.
I know, but I'm saying the matching colors to get Powered Convoy with those colors on that Prime would look pretty good, and you wouldn't have to track down that Canadian TFCon exclusive to get Powered Convoy.
Well, there is another way to get that. The Canadian one was a little bit different, but they made.
I have the other release of it.
Yeah.
Okay.
It wasn't hard to get.
So, moving along, we have photos of Robots in the Skies, Minicon Deployer, Crazy Bolt. I really like the vehicle mode, and I really don't like the lizard mode, because here's the vehicle mode. People watching the video. But the lizard mode looks like a chicken or something to me. It just doesn't come out right.
Now, the Minicon, it color-wise, that's a chicken.
Yeah, you're right, but the...
It's a chicken, I tell you, a giant chicken.
Oh, God, I'm going to have to put up with those for the next...
But I say I don't like the vehicle mode, or the lizard mode. It just doesn't look like a lizard to me, but...
No, it doesn't.
There's something charming about it, otherwise. So I wanted to share that.
I'd like to see this done at a higher complexity level.
Yeah.
Like, I think a warrior class toy is probably out of the question for something with this design style, but just something a little bit more complex to get the lizard to come out better. Because I like the idea of a vehicle turning into just an animalistic robot. That's
Me too. It's
cool and different.
Absolutely. We don't get it enough.
Just not this one.
Yeah. So, also, we found out this past week that Masterpiece, Bumblebee, and Spike have shown up in Toys R Us computers. Oh, there you go. Wow.
And I am slightly amazed that Spike is included in that.
Why?
Yeah.
Well, did he come with Chip before? No, what did he get? Did he come with Spike?
Yeah.
The G2 one.
The G2
Bumblebee. Yeah, that came with the jetpack.
And the red one doesn't even come with a jetpack.
Well, that was an exclusive, though. They don't have to make that worth your while.
Oh, was that the mall exclusive?
Yeah.
Oh, shoot. Okay. I'm never going to get that for like
$40.
Oh,
no, you will, because they're not exclusive in mainland Asia.
Okay. So as soon as that like $40 on Amazon, we get it. Okay. So that's a thing.
No, I mean, they could have released... They could do the Hasbro Bumblebee without the Spike and sell it cheaper, but you know, probably not by much just because of the licensing requirements.
Well, I guess they are trying to stay in that sweet spot of their pricing for the Masterpiece line.
So well, the price listed here is actually lower than what Prowl and Blue Streak went. So
yeah. That's interesting.
Not by a ton, but it is cheaper.
What's the price?
$65, I believe.
Yeah.
Not worth it. Okay. So I'm not
saying it is, but it is cheaper.
We didn't make a big deal of this because there was an RFC minicast on this almost immediately after RFC last week. But Masterpiece Optimus Primal, last week we talked about the line art. Now we have the prototype revealed, and it's nice. I want it. I sure do.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, the minicast has a lot of good info in it, but I'll just say this: I love the overall the balanced silhouette of the robot mode. It the proportions look right. It looks like it's just a really good looking robot mode.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really does. Mm-hmm. It really does. And
I'm pretty damn happy with how the ape mode looks too. All things considered.
Yeah. He can stand up straight. He can lean over. It's pretty great.
Ooh, his eyes light up. I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think a lot of us are also interested in what all is he going to come with accessory-wise. You know, we see the swords, but then you could have the riot shield. You could have the mace. You could have the flower that Dinobot gave him.
And I know it's not the same Optimus, but I would like him to have like a floating skateboard.
Oh, see, I thought you were going to go for the finger with the basketball on it.
Yes! Oh, God, Mega SCF failed me with that.
Yeah, one. I'm never going to let that go.
No.
That's like me and Microman Godzilla. Originally, Microman Godzilla's Microman figure was supposed to be a suit actor instead of a regular-looking Microman. And
that would have been awesome.
Yeah, it is such a mistake that they did not do that.
And I'm still pissed off about Weebles.
Oh yeah, we never
our first toy fair. Was it our second? Were they? I think it was the second.
That was the second or third because I think we had video for that one.
Yeah. So the Weebles never came out. Okay.
Oh,
so
but if they don't come out, that means they also can't fall down.
Well, they wouldn't fall down anyway because they're that awesome.
Yeah. One last thing in official news, we have our first clear look at, again, this was on the minicast, first clear look at Unite Warriors Blastoff. So
since Matt didn't get to participate in that minicast, I would really like to hear what he thinks about this Blastoff.
I really like him. I think he matches the animation model really well, but it's really going to make him stand out among the other Combaticons.
Mm-hmm. So
I want him bad.
So tell us the theory that you have, Chris, that this actually has two robot modes.
Okay, so in the magazine scan and on T-Formers, we copied the high-res scans from AllSpark. We cropped out and zoomed in on – we CSI'd a little bit on the high-res scans from AllSpark of that Figure King page. So you can see a bigger view of the back mode or the back of the robot mode. And it's pretty clear there is another robot chest printed around that, and the combiner ports back there too. Basically, what I'm getting from this is that this transforms exactly the same way as basically every other Combiner Wars Deluxe, where the front chunk of the vehicle mode folds down against the back, but they have it set up where, for cartoon accuracy, you can use that as the front. That becomes the chest instead of the backpack, so it has a different profile than most of the other ones. So it looks a little bit different. It has the cartoon accuracy, but it's also possible for it to be set up for a toy accurate robot mode too, which I am currently calling Counter Blast Off.
That would be awesome. Mm-hmm. His counterpart's nearby.
Very nearby.
Yeah. But yeah, so I like it. I didn't get a chance. I wasn't on the mini cast. It's really cool looking. I hope that somehow we get this over here.
Well, we will when we buy the Unite Warriors Bruticus set.
Well, yeah. I did pre-order it.
Me too.
Yeah. So
day one.
Yep.
But yeah, maybe it, well, no. We already saw G2 Bruticus, so we know we're not getting it in that. Well, darn.
No, yeah. we can still hope. There's time.
Okay, so I have a mission for Diecast. At Toy Fair, if they have G2 Bruticus there and it still has the jet arm, you need to go to them and, you know, talk to them, and, you know, we've seen that there's the shuttle that Takara is making. You know, maybe we can still make a change here, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. You need to make sure that the idea is in their heads. And also, if the display model they have there still has the G1 logos, bring that up too, because it needs to have the G2 logos.
I wonder if we'll see the Headmaster RC that I pitched to them at New York Comic Con. Because they said there have been talks about that particular figure. So,
but we have to wait for that one guy at BotCon to die, and then we'll do it. So.
Yeah.
If it's
maybe,
there,
maybe
if it's there, don't take pictures of it.
Ooh, what
yeah,
if they
skip
just
it.
Do, what if they just do the head only?
He'd be fine with that.
Little Daniel with an RC head and not make an RC body for it.
Diecast.
Now, see, that's what I really want to know, Dawn. Yes. If they make Headmaster RC, but the Headmaster is not Daniel, what would you do?
You can pretend it's Daniel.
Spray paint. And my imagination. So.
Never mind that. Yeah. Never mind. So
that's
okay.
When a third party would really have to step up and be like, okay, we'll make the RC body. If they do a head,
see,
nothing else.
No, see, like, the good thing about the way the Generations RC we already have designed, all they do is pop out the neck piece it already has and mold a new one with a socket and then just, you know, add a Titan Master to that.
It's true.
Very, very quick, easy retool. The Titan Master wouldn't be able to sit in the seats on the back, but, you know.
Yeah.
Nothing's perfect.
Well, I'm sure they might be able to mold that a little bit, too.
Probably a little peg on the side of Daniel that you could stick him into the side of the car. Like he's holding the car. So there's that.
Cool. Okay. So that's it for official news. I want to thank Amazon, because Amazon and you are the reason that we are here right now still doing this. Because you guys, through Amazon, pay for all this stuff. And Amazon actually...
Just because we were nuts.
Well, that's true, too.
No, we'd still be here. We'd just... Brian might be...
I'd still be paying for everything
out
of pocket.
More in debt.
Instead of just part of it out of pocket. God, I'm still so in debt over the podcast. Maybe someday I'll get out of it. So, so Amazon's really cool. And if you didn't know, they actually have bought some really cool companies over the years. A couple of my favorites are Audible and Comixology. And Comixology is a recent acquisition. But Audible they've had for a while. And you can actually buy Audible books through Amazon or through Audible.com. And, Don, I know it's too late for you, but you can actually get two free audiobooks from Audible for free, and they are yours to keep
forever.
I've
done it, Brian. I put that in the show notes. I have done that.
Through tfradio.net/audible?
Yes.
Awesome. That's fantastic, Don.
Yes. And then I used both of them. Now, it was not TF-related. There's a series of books I read by Alona Andrews, and I bought her, and this is not, it's not available in print yet. It's only available on Kindle and other electronic formats. But I bought both books in her Innkeeper series. That was an excellent read as a companion series to her Kate Daniels. I'm keeping Audible past the free trial, and I'll be looking at some Big Finish Doctor Who books to try to. So I'm gonna keep up with this Audible for a little while.
I love Audible. I've been a paid member now for, God, this will be 7 years.
Yeah. Well, for the drive you have to work, that comes in real handy to be able to. I mean, you can listen to a whole book and your time will just fly.
Plus, they have daily editions of the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal that you get. You can get either or. So, but yeah, Audible's great.
I remember the trip to BotCon 2012 when me and you listened to Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter.
That was great too.
Uh-huh.
It was great.
When Brian bought his new car.
Yes, for BotCon at my urging.
Yep.
So, you know, it's I have looked at buying some audiobooks before. Oh,
I thought you were looking at buying a new car.
No. And
do it for BotCon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the $14.95 they charge per month for the credit for the book is actually cheaper than a lot of what these audiobooks would cost you.
Oh, audiobooks are expensive, especially if you get them on disc.
Yeah, I mean, you know, one of the ones I was looking at for the Kate Daniels series was like $29 or $34 for the audio version, and I'm basically getting it for $15. So, and then I've got that to play back whenever I want to listen to it.
Yeah, I really do love Audible, and you can go to tfradio.net/audible for 2 free audiobooks that are yours to keep forever. You don't even have to subscribe. You can just try it out. They're yours. And also, Amazon bought Comixology recently. And now that Comixology has been integrated into Amazon, a lot of the comics, most of the comics, I think actually maybe all of them that I bought through Kindle now work on my Comixology app. So now like stuff that I got like super cheap through Kindle, because Comixology tends to cost a little more, I can actually now read in my Comixology app. Pretty cool. And I actually just recently bought the He-Man mini comics collection on Kindle. And I like the Kindle app for books. I don't love it so much for comics, but it works great in the Comixology app. Pretty cool. And you can go ahead, Rob.
You know, presumably I had some of those mini comics since I had quite a few of the toys, and I don't remember any of them at all.
Yeah, I barely do.
So it's basically new material at this point.
It is absolutely new material. I didn't realize that He-Man really was just a barbarian to begin with. It's really cool.
Mm-hmm. That I'd heard, but I had not seen.
A couple of later books were actually written by Paul Dini. Yeah, so if you're interested in the comics, you can go to tfradio.net/comics or Audible, tfradio.net/audible. It'll help us out, and we would really appreciate it. So, third-party news. Somebody tell me about this Toy World Ramjet. Who looked at this?
This is the first I've heard about it.
Diecast,
did you look at this?
No.
Okay, I thought somebody might be interested.
I don't know who put it in the show notes, though.
I mean, I'm interested because hopefully it'll be cheaper than the Ramjet we're getting out of Asia.
I doubt it.
And I've seen a comparison shot of this against Masterpiece Acid Storm, and he stands about a cone head taller.
Really?
Yeah.
this one? Wow.
Yes.
France. We come from France.
Yeah.
Nice. No, this is bigger than the Masterpiece Seeker, which to me kind of just defeats the whole point of doing it, even though it does look pretty good.
Well, the cone heads would be taller anyway than...
It's not just that the head rises up above the other ones, like the whole figure is just like proportionately that much bigger.
No, Acid Storm's, the top of Acid Storm's head will come up to about this guy's shoulder.
Yeah.
See, that's
I find that annoying.
Yeah.
Right.
Alright, yeah. So that's an easy pass. Woohoo.
Yeah.
So Ramjet's head and shoulders above the others, okay.
Nice. Very nice. Okay.
Well, just until he runs into something really hard and then he'll be the same height.
So did I put this in the show notes or did somebody else? The X-Transbots Swarm.
Didn't we talk about that last week?
No, Don brought it up briefly after we finished the minicast.
Oh, okay, right.
Yeah.
So what is so it's
so Don, tell us about this.
Well, it's my guesses slash predictions slash fantasies are so rare to even happen. It's nice when they actually do, because when Andreas first came out, we talked about, well, at least I brought up the possibility of, do you think they could take out some electronics and do a 3-pack? And it was iffy if they could even do a multi-pack, but X-Transbots is doing a 3-pack of their Andreas slash Scourge figures, and they're coming in a pack of three, and it's going to be I'm pulling up now so I can remember the names.
One of them is Curse.
Yeah, you've got Curse, and then you've got... hang on, let me pull up the right picture. I'm sorry. Windows 10 is a little slow for me. I'm still
learning.
Are they
doing a 3-pack or a 2-pack?
It's a 3-pack.
They're being sold in Bane.
Okay. Thank you, Brian.
They're being sold as a set of three, but the way the images look, it looks like the design intent was it be one sweep that was Curse, which would have been by itself, and the other two would have been a 2-pack. But I think they're just all being bundled together now.
And, one of them comes with the cog of the city, which is basically Metroplex's transformation cog, and the other is the eye of the city, which is Metroplex's eye from the Ghost of Starscream episodes. So I'm really glad to see this.
Well, and one of them comes with parts to look like it's possessed by Starscream.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, it's pretty.
Yeah.
So, that's great.
I'll be honest, I kind of understand why they didn't include the Target Master with one of these, because you kind of want that to be special with Andreas.
Also, it keeps the cost down.
It does keep the cost down. But I'm glad this is coming out. I am not a huge X-Transbots fan, just because I haven't bought a lot of their product. But I know the Andreas was well received by a lot of reviewers, and even though it's $300, this is the first time you've been able to actually troop build. Other than the Generation Scourge, but these are, you know, the G1 Scourges, but the way they look, you get the extra parts for display, plus the ghost add-on is really nice. So I'm glad this is coming out, so people that like the Andreas mode can get a more reasonable troop builder pack to display.
Do we know,
Don, you're gonna buy three of these, right?
No, I'm thinking about Andreas. I really don't want to put that much into the sweeps themselves, because I'm not really a troop builder. As long as I've got Galvatron, Cyclonus, and Scourge, if they ever do a Cyclonus, I'll be happy.
So do we know the price?
I think X-Transbots is working on a Cyclonus.
Yeah, $299.99, Brian.
So about
$100 a piece, whereas Andreas himself runs about $150 to $160, depending on where you go.
That's not bad.
Yeah, no, you're basically buying two, getting one free.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, you're just sacrificing the Target Master for the add-on pieces.
Yeah, which, I mean, like...
Hey, Don, it's a bargain. You have to buy it now.
The Target Master is cool looking enough, but I really like the Starscream possession parts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like those are a nice really touch. Neat idea and look good, at least in these renders.
Yeah.
And there's always companies like Master Shooter that's done a Fracas homage that you could get another Target Master, like from Master Shooter Fracas, that probably would work well with these figures. It may be a little small, but it's a gun.
Only someone knew how to contact them.
But I think Master Shooter is kind of out of the game at this point anyway.
Are they? I don't think.
Well,
last I heard, they were not going to be producing any more Master Shooter.
I heard from Master Shooter, I heard that too. Then Master Shooter had some new stuff at TFCon.
Yeah,
also, but I think that was just like remaining supply that they were putting together.
Well, also from what I understand, talking to the design team,
Master Shooter.
Yeah, exactly. At Master Shooter, they are the entire design team is working on some new things, so. If these new things work out, we might see some old molds come back out as well as part of the line. Nice. So,
but there's only one mold, right, or two?
I mean, there's a few separate elements that they, you know, mix and match to get different final figures.
Okay,
it's like that's one of the things that really impressed me about that. It's a really smart way to design them, because basically, like every color sprue makes one full figure, but you mix and match, and you can get all different looking.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah.
Okay, so full disclosure, I think I'm getting sick mid-show, so let's wrap this up. This week on the network, sorry, I've been muting and coughing, and it's been great. This week on the network, Superhero Time presents that one episode of Star Trek, Albatross, and Beyond the Farthest Star. I don't remember these episodes. Are these both Star Trek animated series?
Yes, as it says in the description.
Yeah.
Well, Kilby, go get on Netflix at some point and watch Beyond the Farthest Star. Because it's pretty fantastic.
I know I've seen it. I've seen the whole thing. I just it doesn't stick out to me. It's not the Magic Symbol Dust 2.
Well, nothing really is. But
or
this
the Infinite Vulcan.
The Infinite Vulcan is just really remarkable for how nobody ever comments on Spock being 20 feet tall.
I know. And that was a Walter Koenig episode?
Yes, he wrote that episode.
Yeah, it's great.
Our suspicion on the podcast is that he did not even write it in that Spock should be that big. That was just decided, you know, at the storyboarding stage or whatever. Yeah.
It's pretty great. So Beyond the Farthest Star is pretty awesome.
Yes, it's actually the first episode of the series, and as you would expect from a pilot, it really makes a strong case for what the show can do.
I imagine the animation is fantastic. All seven frames.
It is Filmation.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, well, I mean, you have to look at more from the concept level than the actual,
true
animation.
And being awesome with Rob Springer, Rob talks a lot about the QTF Starscream. Rob loves the QTF figures, plus some other stuff about BotCon and things like that. It's really good. And, of course, we talked about the new minicast where John XV, Don, and Rob discuss Unite Warriors Blast Off and Masterpiece Optimus Primal.
Go listen to that.
Yeah, it's good. And we're going to have a minicast coming up this week where... John and I discuss, we reminisce on G2 and the end of G.I. Joe.
Aww.
And I buy a G.I. Joe vehicle during the show.
Mid-recording.
Mid-recording.
You're a weak man.
Of course you do.
Is it Tiger Force?
No, it's the the Club Havoc MK2.
Mm. No, one you based should go on buy something Tiger Force, Brian. Do that now.
Yeah, I could do that.
While you're thinking about it.
I could.
tfradio.net/Amazon.
Yeah. Actually, no, that doesn't go toward toys. That just goes for the podcast. Sadly. Okay, so, no, literally just goes for the podcast and podcast-related activities.
Well, isn't buying something on the podcast technically a podcast-related activity?
Oh, you're a genius. I love that. I love that. Rob.
I have a degree in creative accounting.
Rob, what's on TV? My uncle did too, and he got. Never mind. I'm not going to say that. He lost his job over that. Rob, what's on Deformers this week?
Well, I reviewed Sins of the Wreckers number 3 out today. They kind of blow the big reveal of the issue in the preview, so I won't say it here, but if you see the review at Deformers, you will. You will get to find out about that, just be warned. And also, someone has posted a first look video of Combiner Wars Skylynx, and we've got that up there, too.
Very cool, very cool. Hey, some listener feedback. We need to do more of this. We get emails and such, but normally we just respond to them. We need to be better about actually responding to stuff on the show. So last week we were talking about food in Louisville. And our friends Mark Baker Wright and Jason Tate quickly chimed in with suggestions. So I think most of you guys know, or a lot of you guys know, that Mark maintains a BotCon survival guide on his blog. And he's already got his Louisville edition survival guide up, and we will link to that in the show. And our friend Jason Tate, a.k.a. Tater X, if you guys know him as Tater X, he recommended Boomba's Craft Pizza and Tap House, and J-Town, and Joella's Hot Chicken. I think I've already scheduled a lunch for us at Boomba's, so we actually already have a reservation there, so apparently it's really good. So, and if you want to contact us, send us an email at contact@tfradio.net, or leave us a voicemail. We still have that. I just haven't mentioned it in like 4 years. It's the number is 931-99-GOBOT, or that's 931-994-6268. If you call us and you have something to say, it may be on the show. So don't forget, Toy Fair, 2 weeks probably from about the time you're listening to this, which will be Saturday, February 13th. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio to see all of the news as it comes in, because Diecast is awesome. And don't forget, watch us live. And you can contact me personally on, follow me personally on Twitter at BKilby. Chris is not on Twitter anymore, or he doesn't want to share because he's a curmudgeon. So, Don, how do we get a hold of you on Twitter?
I can be reached at HMRC, the number 4EVR, or just look for the worst pun on the internet, and it'll probably eventually travel back to me.
Yeah, Google worst pun ever, and you'll find Don. Matt's not on social media, Diecast.
I'm on Twitter at Diecast2, and make sure you subscribe to RFC Reviews on YouTube, because I got a bunch of stuff coming that I'm going to have to review.
And we have a shortcut URL to that, which is tfradio.net/reviews.
Yes, tfradio.net/reviews, or you can just go to tfradio.net and click on RFC Reviews on the top right-hand corner.
Yeah.
Check out tfradio.net, because it's an awesome site.
You are awesome.
Yeah. It's a cornucopia of entertainment options.
This is true. This is true. Rob, how about you?
I am at RAC2750 and at Flailthroughs, which is actually active again this week. I am posting videos of a playthrough of the demo of Dragon Quest Builders for the PS4. Nice. That's a lot of fun.
Nice, nice, nice. What about you, John?
That John D.
Sweet. Well, awesome, guys. So if I can, without coughing my head off, I'll get this out. So thank you all for watching or listening again. If you can, watch us live, tfradio.net/live. We start again now. We've moved back to our, as of today, back to our old time of about 8:30 Eastern time on Wednesdays. tfradio.net/live. Join in the chat. We're trying to rebuild that since, you know, we ignored it for months. Sorry. For the guys, I'm Brian Kilby. We will see you later. Have a good one.
Thank you, everybody.
3, 2, 1. Hey, guys, do you know what's happening on February 13th?
Yeah, Diecast is leaving his wife behind and going to New York by himself for Valentine's Day again.
Oh, well, yes, but he has a good reason.
Yeah, that's Toy Fair weekend, and I'm going to be there to cover everything. Man, you guys are mean.
Boy, Diecast, you suck at this.
All day Saturday, starting at noon Eastern time, you can go to tfradio.net/live and join us as we talk about all the day's news.
It's going to be an afternoon full of...
I think we've actually gained viewers. I think we gained a viewer in the last 2 minutes. Like, what in the hell? Okay.
Everybody likes a disaster.
Everybody likes a disaster. Okay.
Disasters are humanizing.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. Let's do this. Let's all look at the camera.
I am so human.
Yeah.
Damn it, Rob. Stop.
Okay. 3, 2, 1. Hey, guys, you know what's happening on February 13th?
Yeah, Diecast is leaving his wife behind and going to New York by himself for Valentine's Day again.
No, well, yes, but he has a good reason.
Yeah, that's Toy Fair weekend, and I'm going to be there to cover everything. Man, you guys are mean.
We love you, Diecast. And while you're at Toy Fair, we're going to be comfortable and relaxed at home during our seventh anniversary. Yeah, shoot, blah, blah, blah. This is going to be great. Hey, guys, do you know what's happening on February 13th?
Yeah, Diecast is leaving his wife behind and going to New York by himself for Valentine's Day again.
No, well, yes, but he has a good reason.
Yeah, that's Toy Fair weekend, and I'm going to be there to cover everything. Man, you guys are mean.
We love you, Diecast. And while you're at Toy Fair, we're going to be comfortable and relaxed at home on our 7th anniversary live stream.
All day Saturday, starting at noon Eastern time, you can go to tfradio.net/live and join us as we talk about all the day's news.
It's going to be an afternoon full of new Transformer toy news to nerd over.
Not just that, but on Sunday we'll be streaming again to talk about non-Transformer stuff.
And you guys are going to be joined by a lot of guests to discuss and analyze all the reveals with you.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty awesome.
But we're going to have more than just the stream.
Absolutely. Diecast is going to be tweeting out photos and as much info as he can while he's there.
And if you don't want to miss any of it, make sure you're following us on Twitter at TF Radio.
Subscribing to our YouTube channel is also a good idea to make sure you don't miss out on any of our live broadcasts.
And if you don't already, like us on Facebook too.
Jeez, Kilby, why not plug the Amazon link too while you're at it?
tfradio.net/Amazon.
Anyway, make sure to join us at tfradio.net/live on February 13th at 12 p.m. Eastern.
Absolutely. It's going to be a great time.
Brought to you by Diecast ruining his marriage.
Hey.
I love you guys, but if that promo was a song, it would be Yakety Sax, okay? All right.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/tfradio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons license. Any part of this podcast can and should be redistributed, but please, proper attribution is required if you know what's good for you. Radio Free Cybertron, the original Transformers Internet radio show since 1999. 100% girlfriend free since 1999.